When life's problems are pressing in on you and the sparks are really flying, when you cut things a little too close and Friday's impossible deadline was moved to Thursday, when your life's in need of a little divine intervention.
I think you need a miracle.
Take a detour on the highway to heaven.
Come on, it'll be a hoot.
And experience the enchantment of Michael Landon.
Come on, get it off your chest.
Highway to Heaven. Weeknights at 8 on FAM Primetime.
Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Landon Nation. It's Kelly here with Mark.
What's up, Kelly?
What's up, Mark?
Found this.
Ready to dive into the wonderful world of Michael Landon.
I found this 1980s attaché case with a million bucks. Attaché cases, what do you think of those things? It's a relic.
I guess it's, I don't know. When did people stop using those? That hasn't really been a thing for a long time.
All right. So let's just say you have to meet with somebody, right? And they walk in with an attaché case. Do you like kind of go like, what's up with that? That's the kind of weird.
Well, there's that episode of Frasier. I think it's when they're the person who bullied them at school is the guy who's fixing the toilet.
Yeah. I remember
that. And then he makes fun of how Niles had one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody with one in the wild. It's always, you know, it's messenger bags now, I guess.
Yeah.
Nice ones too. Fancy leather. But yeah, so the episode we're talking about today is
Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven. All that glitters.
Yeah, you gotta get that accent going on.
Mine kind of crept out there on its own. So
like, what in the mobster world are they trying to do in this episode?
Where is this?
Well, it's probably L.A., right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but it doesn't look like L.A. I mean, I don't think it's L.A. I mean, I'm thinking it's Chicago, maybe, or Detroit. But it's not, because they don't leave California.
But, well, there are a couple times they do. There's that one time they go to Arizona with this baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that time that they go to, what was it, Oklahoma? We talked about that episode before. They went to Mark's childhood, like his grandfather's house, remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah, wasn't that in like Oklahoma? So those are two times I can think of where they left California. But generally, I think they're sort of bound to California. And, you know, like they do meet other angels sometimes on the show. And I've actually wondered this before, if the angels get kind of geographic assignments. Mm-hmm. So maybe Jonathan's area is California. And then, you know, maybe there are angels that are assigned to like New England and then Florida angels. And
yeah, I'm looking for, you know, on IMDb to see if it lists the location. They've changed IMDb so much. I just can't find anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Here,
that's frustrating.
Filming and production. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is in L.A. It's St. Mary's Catholic Church, 407 South Chicago Street. So I'm kind of right about Chicago.
Yeah, the Chicago thing,
Los
right?
Los Angeles, California. Wow, this is kind of cool. They give you the address of a number of things. Wanda's apartment.
My gosh, Landon Nation tour.
Landon.
Let's do it.
With the Magical Mystery Tour bus.
We can be like that episode of Seinfeld when Kramer started giving bus tours.
Hello, and thank you for, if everyone could just find a seat, welcome to Landon Nation.
Do you remember, didn't Kramer start doing tours? Were they bus tours? I remember he did tours, right?
Remember, he was doing some with the donut holes. He was, the muffin bottoms or something.
The muffin bottoms, because Elaine had that whole thing where it's like people only eat the tops.
And he would give them the muffin bottoms, and he was doing the tour. I don't know what the tour was for, like New York City tours.
Wasn't it, what did he call it?
But he also did the horse one. Like, remember he would give the tour while he was like, you know, the horse wagon guy?
Oh, was it the J. Peterman Reality Bus Tour?
The J. Peterman, yes.
That does actually kind of sound in the vein of Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah, it really does. That's so fun. We should cover a Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Not here, you know.
Yeah, well, so we're switching gears, and we're talking about Seinfeld now.
Seinfeld Nation.
Yeah, Seinfeld Nation.
I've always wanted to meet him. Yeah. Yeah, so there are a lot of really cool, like, locations here, and they're all in Los Angeles, all of them, which is just kind of hilarious. But yeah, it's all.
But then, like, we have, like, this mobster gang thing going on, and they all have these really stereotypical mobster character accents and everything.
Yeah, like, I'm going to play one right now, and it's just... this is Charlie, I believe his name is, and mm-hmm. he's kind of a con man. He's... always selling, like, really cheap jewelry.
Yeah, you, come here. Look at this.
Come here. Look at this. You like Zeppelins?
What is billowy blue cap? Billowy blue. I mean, it looks like it's too big for his head.
Well, that and his whole outfit is kind of bizarre.
His little checkered sport coat.
This guy's kind of bizarre, too, the customer.
Look at this. 2-carat diamond solitaire. Flawless. You take this over your wife, she'll think you're Rambo.
This guy looks like a young Harvey Keitel, too. That's, yeah.
His outfit, really, though, he's wearing the sport jacket. He has a tie. He mm-hmm. has this weird blue baseball cap. It makes no sense.
It's yours for $1,000.
I'm not really in the market for diamonds.
Well, we're not talking diamonds here. We're talking investment. Look at this. 2 carats. It's worth $5,000-$6,000. For you, $800.
Can you imagine if somebody was like, okay.
Just... yeah, well, that's crazy. This whole scenario is crazy that he just goes up to this guy to try to sell him jewelry.
Well, I've had this happen in, like, in the city and stuff like that. And it's like, what do you think? I'm walking around with $400-$500? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, like, the whole scenario is kind of crazy, though, because there's that. But then also, why would they just look at you and be like, oh, this guy is someone who wants to, you know.
Yeah.
Buy this. I mean, like, they don't know anything about you. Like, how do they know if you would have anybody to give it to or
Kelly,
anything?
Kelly,
know.
This guy's loady. He wears 3 watches.
Yeah. Nah, I don't think so.
Nah.
Custom design. Look at the quality. Look at the setting.
His watches just cracked me up.
Look, 500, I throw in the chain. 14 karat gold. Look at the clasp.
Hey. Thanks.
He loves no, thanks. Talking okay. about clasps.
Yeah, he's obsessed with the clasp. But he negotiates. This guy is pretty
sure. He should become a lingerie salesman. Look at the clasp.
Not that cheap Velcro Walmart stuff. This guy is pretty shrewd, though. He negotiates down to $50 for this piece of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
not so obvious, man. The people around.
$50.
What are you nuts? The clasp below is worth more than that.
This is like
being the clasp again.
This takes me back to the days of seeing the Grateful Dead in the parking lot and buying some fake mushrooms. It happened. It happened to me. It really did. So let's see. The boyfriends. You're right. That's very funny. You're right. The boyfriends are driving around. So these guys, just two guys out on the town.
Yeah.
Any idea what the assignment is yet, Kemosabe?
And all right, you can't see Kemosabe anymore. These are.
It happens from time to time on this show. That is one of his sort of regular nicknames for Jonathan.
I mean, I grew up hearing Kemosabe all the time. I'm sure you did to a point.
No, not yet. Just it's around here somewhere.
And you're listening to 1620 on your AM dial, switching you live to the news scene.
We get a cool shot of the radio.
In the 1900 mm-hmm. block.
All right, so this is only an AM radio. I just want to point that out.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
And it is a Ford. It's a stock Ford radio.
Of Eastwood Boulevard, where Rich Richards is standing by.
Rich Richards. Dick Richards.
Chuck, I'm...
They do have episodes, though, where they're listening to music in here, don't they?
I mean, I guess
it seems like it would be on FM.
But I guess there are music stations on FM.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, they used to have a heavy metal station on AM.
That's funny.
It was like 1480, you know, heavy rock or something.
Like opposite the Eastwood Arms apartment, where a major fire is now in progress that threatens to envelop an entire neighborhood of apartment buildings and resident hotels.
because so this becomes like the subplot. There's this big fire going on. We never see evidence of this fire, although we see a fire truck.
Right, and then we see the buses of people that are coming to the church.
And this is where Mark kind of totally pulls a total cop move in a way. He's like, I just got a new assignment. Oh, yeah. Did you do it already? I missed
it. Yeah, you missed it. Sorry. He has that crazy U-turn. I mean, this was totally unnecessary, right?
To do a burnout like that?
Yeah. He could have just turned around.
I think he was just trying to make a left. That piece of junk.
Hey, Mark, is that how your car got all dented up?
You got to change that front right tire. Oh, my God. So, these guys are weird. So, we have the criminals hanging out.
I mean, they look weird.
They're drinking Miller beer.
Yeah. Look at that.
Nice old bottle.
One of these clowns gonna show.
So this guy's got a little bit of a lisp, which I started. I didn't catch it later. I think it kind of goes away. So maybe
something. I didn't look up if he was in something else, but he looks kind of familiar. But I don't know why. But maybe he just has, I don't know, a face that looks like somebody or something.
He kind of reminds me of like a singer of a band or something. And I can't really explain it. He's super familiar. Not the guy.
You get what I'm saying, where it just something about him looks really familiar, but I also have no idea who this is and who I think he looks like.
I'm going to look him up. I also think he's kind of modern looking.
Yeah.
You know who he looks like? There's Jim Brewer. I don't know. He's a comedian.
I'm not sure if I'm familiar with
him. He's that whole crackhead look, you know?
Sitting around with $1 million, you know? He'll be here.
I mean, that's kind of look like him.
He'll be here.
Mr. Doyle says...
This is me waiting for my handyman tomorrow to come and finish my bathroom.
Yeah. He'll that's be been going here. On for a long time, by the way, hasn't it?
Let's not talk about this. No, it's a pretty good amount of stress.
You need to get the Rastafarians back.
Yeah, Mark. He went to Africa. This is the story. He went to Africa and he couldn't come back because something had expired having to do with his status. And I don't know. He's probably full of it, but he's coming. Supposedly, he's coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
He has a lot of good stories about all the weed he smokes.
Primo stuff. Be worth
primo stuff.
The primo stuff.
That little toot.
This guy has been in a lot of things, but he was in 4 episodes of Highway, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
But that's not that uncommon, right? I mean, it's pretty easy to, but I'm looking here and like, although you might have seen a lot of these shows, I don't think that there's anything that really stands out to me. It's not like there's a Frasier here or anything like that. I don't think you were exactly a big Remington Steele fan. Maybe, who knows,
In that briefcase on the street.
Yeah, well, I just wish they'd show. I don't like sitting around like this, waiting. Not with this much money.
Open up, please.
All right, so this guy's going around knocking on doors, and this woman just kind of opens it immediately. Like, she's waiting by the door for somebody to knock. Open up, the police. So he's just saying, oh, no, it's a man. Basically, collect your belongings. There's a big fire. It could break out. I thought that this was a big scam. I thought this guy was like a home invader or something like that. So he's going to the different, to everybody in the building. We go back outside and we see the con man going up to people. This guy's kind of funny. The guy on the street.
Mister, look at this. Take a look. Beautiful diamond solitaire, two carat diamond. Hey.
What does he have on? Like under his shirt, he has like his iPhone. Like, I'm not really sure.
It looks like he's wearing a bulletproof vest or something underneath his sweater.
Or a man's ear.
Hey, I heard that story before.
No, you ain't heard this one before. Hey, it's a beautiful opportunity. Great chain. Yeah, sure. You look wonderful on your...
I heard that story before, man.
Well, on your velour outfit, madam. Thank you.
You know what I missed is them bailing out, which I thought was kind of funny. The police come to the door for the criminals.
It's about time.
Open up, please. It's the police.
It's the cops. Cops!
And these two just bail out like two like meth heads or something.
Yeah.
Get out of here!
Just get out of here!
That music is pretty fun, too.
Yeah. They go down the fire escape, which would scare the hell out of me, personally.
I want to point out, just because it came up, that so Charlie, that John Plachette guy, he was in an episode of Dr. Quinn. So here's our overlap with Dr. Quinn cast. Yeah. So in the Washington Affair episode, he plays the detective. If you recall that episode, there's a Detective Simpson, I want to say his name is.
I recall the episode, but I don't recall him.
Yeah, well, so now you might recognize him, maybe, if you were to watch that episode again. It was one of those things where it didn't jump out at me immediately, but then this guy, I thought something about him was kind of familiar, and I was kind of like, where else would I have seen him?
Yeah.
And then when I looked him up and saw he was in that episode, and then I was like, oh, he was in that episode. Crazy. And then I watched that episode again, and then I totally saw it. Like, oh, yeah, that's totally the guy.
Wow, that's crazy. And it's like, and like 9 years later.
Yeah.
On your belief.
So, all right, so he's trying to sell to these people. They're walking away.
Your outfit, madam. Thank you.
Oh. Hey, you jerk, you knocked me down. Why don't you watch where you're going?
This is some guy pulls out a gun.
My mistake, my mistake.
Never mind about him, Bushy. Grab the briefcase.
And you know who Jeff Conaway is from Grease also? That's what the other guy looks like to me.
Oh, by the way, I looked at the episodes, the other highway episodes that the guy is in, and I actually can place him now in one of them. He's in an episode called The Torch, which is this one, I don't know if you've seen it yet, where there is this, like, white supremacist, like, neo-Nazi, you know, kind of group, and there's, like, this whole crazy thing that end up, there's, like, some rally with, like, the neo-Nazis, and then they end up shooting and killing this Jewish kid who is the child of this guy who is some sort of like he was kind of like a motivational speaker who had been through the Holocaust and, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, so and then like the whole episode gets crazy because then the leader of the white supremacist group gets accidentally shot by his son and then dies. So then the Jewish guy, who's sort of like this big speaker guy or whatever, he needs to get a heart. Like he gets a heart transplant from like the white supremacist guy.
Why do white supremacists, and this is a serious question, why do they like rallies so much? So many rallies.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably a lot going on there. You could deconstruct probably a lot about what's going on.
They try to really kind of create this family atmosphere with rallies, but it really is a lot of hate. So, a lot of anger management that's needed, unfortunately. I don't think we have too many white supremacist listeners. So
I hope not.
You know, I mean, if you want to leave 5 stars, you know.
Yeah, you'll do anything for that 5-star review.
5 stars. No, we don't want any of the white supremacists to listen. So this guy looks like Jeff Conaway, I think. And which is funny because we have the Didi from Grease later.
Where you going?
It's just funny. So he points at his gun. He's like, we don't have time for this. We see some classic graffiti. I wonder if, like, that's real graffiti, and the guy's like, that's me, I'm on, you know, I made it onto Highway to Heaven.
That would actually be kind of funny.
Then again, do you think a lot of graffiti artists watch Highway to Heaven?
You never know.
It's another one of those kind of weird things. Hey, maybe he got older, and he's like, you know what?
I need a Venn diagram to illustrate this. Who's the population of graffiti artists? Here are the people that watch Highway to Heaven.
Watch Little House.
Yeah. Here's where they were.
Frasier.
Yeah.
be a little picture of you in the middle.
I'm a graffiti artist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, back in sixth grade, you were tagging up your sequential four, whatever, math book. So, all right. So he picks up the briefcase, and it's the identical briefcase, and Charlie realizes that he got the wrong one almost immediately.
Nice guys. You might have broke all my diamonds.
And there's a lot of money in there, and he's like, I'm rich.
$1 million, we're told.
Yeah. He runs into this open place. He runs down the dirtiest alley I've ever seen in my life.
And I'm going to die rich.
Look how nasty it is. The music's pretty fun. Look at this.
It's kind of crazy.
It's like, is this the garbage dump? So, yeah, he goes into this roll-down gate. And he goes into this store. And so he just walks into the cleaners, like a dry cleaner. Which is just weird that he's just able to go into the dry cleaner.
And yeah, I thought it was weird. And then it's a really large operation, it seems, because they seem to have all this. There's a lot of stuff there. But anyway, mm-hmm. So he comes across this priest.
Uniform? I'm gonna say,
I was going to say uniform, but I'm like, it doesn't really seem
yeah, it
right.
Doesn't seem, but, it's not a costume either, though.
vestments, I guess, would be the word, yeah, right? Anyway, so then he decides that he's going to be...
How about get up? Can we call it get up? let's see. The bad guys can't find their briefcase.
Nothing. We better find them, though, or Mr. Doyle's going to kill us.
Excuse me, son.
Now, so the guy throws on the outfit and bumps into the guys. I feel like these two should have been funnier. I think it would have added for some comic relief, but
if they were a little bit more bumbling.
Yeah, but I guess that would ruin the end,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't really fully get, but.
I don't understand what happens to the guy.
Yeah, like I don't really understand at all. Like it's like all of a sudden Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Or
it actually, what it kind of reminds me of is in He Was Only 12, there's some weird light beam.
Yeah.
And that is an episode of Little House where I'm kind of like, I just can't with this episode.
You know, it has not been reviewed yet for one.
It's
Grove
Cast. I don't know. And I mean, I've said before, I think that I'm like, you know, I think even episodes that are sort of bad, it's like they're watchable. There's something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that episode, I have hardly ever seen it. I've seen it a handful of times, which is compared to the rest of The Little House, how many times I've seen them, which the other episodes I've probably seen hundreds of times each.
Right.
I just, that episode is so skippable.
Is it
just too much.
Is it a double episode?
It is a double episode, yeah. And so there's too much of it for starters, and then it's just a crazy episode. It's too much.
Double bed. But
they have this that crazy light beam kind of thing, and that's pretty much what we get in this episode too.
Do you ever see those Italian desserts where it's like these little balls, and they cover them with like honey? It's like a little tower. That's what it always reminded me of in Little House. Funny. But they say that it's unreviewable. That's what they call
the unreviewable.
It's unreviewable. But we'll see. Maybe we'll figure this one out. It has to get done eventually, right?
Maybe we can have a Beam-a-palooza.
Beam-a-palooza. Beam, and here it is. So let's see. We have Mark and Jonathan basically discover that there's an abandoned church. That's in really great condition. The criminal's now dressed up like a priest.
So, speaking of the being in great condition, because you mentioned in the notes that it seemed like it was too clean for being an abandoned church.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, so this is their assignment, right? And that mm-hmm. they're dressed also like priests, and they are kind of taking over this church, I guess you could say. I wonder if, as part of the assignment, the abandoned church was just kind of cleaned up, you know, like how when they get these jobs and they have like resumes with relevant experience, like it's all set up for them.
Right, right.
But I wonder if it was kind of like one of those things where here's a church that you're going to take over that was abandoned, and then they arrive and it's kind of already cleaned up,
but
you know, supernaturally cleaned up.
I would have liked also for them to kind of work in a priest who would have been with the congregation, you know, to like kind of restart the church. But we don't have that. Really. It's just kind of like, all right, see you guys later. I guess it's going to be an Apple store now.
Mm.
It's going to be like Limelight or something.
Oh, I'm sorry if I startled you.
Well, you did. What's going on here, Father?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, this place, it was deserted, all boarded up. They closed this church years ago.
Years ago?
I know.
It's sort of a grand opening.
They kind of make the whole priest thing look okay. I mean, Victor French looks fine. You know, I guess like Michael Landon would be like that, you know, the hip priest.
He's he would be the one who's does like all the youth stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you opening the place tonight?
That's right, Father.
Father.
When he says father, it reminds me of that song. It's like, hello, mother.
Yeah,
hello,
yeah.
Father.
Hey, Father, yeah.
They're coming in through the side door.
This guy's like super paranoid. They're coming through the side door. Yeah, he's very animated. And these guys are kind of animated, too.
Here, someplace. Oh, hi.
And this is funny. We get, like, Mark's, like, little catchphrase.
Nice night, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we thought you was closed there, Father.
How come everybody knows this church is, like, kind of, like, abandoned? Like, even the criminals.
Well, I mean, because apparently it's been for a few years, and it's a pretty prominent-looking building.
Yeah. Well, we're open now, in case you'd like to come in and confess.
Not without an attorney, if you know what I mean.
Cute, my son. Cute.
My son.
He's got to be in there. Let's go.
It's kind of like they really got three people with some serious, like, over-the-top New York accents.
But then when we get the, what's that guy's name? They're kind of boss person. He's like that, too.
Yeah, he is.
He's kind of like this mobster leader kind of character.
Yeah, what's his name? I wrote his name down here somewhere.
It starts with a D, Doyle.
Doyle.
Yeah.
Doyle. Don't tell Doyle. There's a couple scenes, I think, that are a little bit long in this. And this is one of them where Charlie is going to confess to Jonathan. And Jonathan starts going into the fact that he's an angel. And he's like, yeah, right.
You're an angel. Yeah, well, Father, I think you've been hanging around the pews a little too long.
You know what I have to do? I have to remember to... I know we talked about this previously. I have to get, like, the ding from Bewitched. Whenever there's something
ding, ding, ding. This actually is a real Bewitched-type thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see Samantha doing something like this.
Right, like the church is all dusty and she just snaps her fingers.
How'd you do that?
Yeah, what I told you, I'm an angel.
Right. I gotta get out of here.
I wouldn't do that. You really don't want to talk to Bushy and Mick about that money just now, do you?
Who's Bushy and Mick?
The two very large people waiting for you outside. The ones you took the briefcase from after they knocked you down.
It's like, large, you talking like obese? what kind of large are we talking about here?
Father, I don't want to body shame nobody, you know? None for nothing. Not for nothing. It's not exactly my way to go. This one's like, not for nothing, Father.
Something.
All right, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you decide to do. It's your decision.
Right.
Bless me, Father.
It made me laugh. She's like, bless me, Father. And he jumps.
Father, are you all right?
Something.
Father? Are you okay?
And Jonathan vanished.
What do you want?
I can't hear you, Father.
Keep your voice down, will you?
Oh, sorry. Bless me, Father.
Have you ever been in a confessional booth?
I have not.
Yeah, you're not Catholic.
Correct.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, it seems like a good idea, I guess. I don't know. Like, I'm not against this idea or anything like that. I just kind of wonder, I guess you get into this, like, little phone booth type thing. And I just don't think you're supposed to be able to see the person as well as this.
Yeah, I mean, usually, at least the way that I've seen it portrayed, it's more, like, concealed than that. But I don't know from experience, of course, since...
Well, with the lines, it almost looks like a screen.
Yeah. That's true. It does look like there is a screen up there. But,
yeah.
But then what's like the point of the screen? I mean, you can, like, see through it, so.
Like a TV screen, I mean. Like, it looks kind of like she's on a monitor.
Therefore, I have sinned.
You sinned. Well, nobody's perfect, so don't worry about it, okay?
Father? Stan, what's going on?
Yeah, well, it's a long story. Look, it's been nice talking to you, but I got a split, so I'll see you around, okay?
It's kind of hilarious. Like, she's there for a legitimate reason, you know, and he's like, I got a split. Let's see. Mark tells Jonathan that the criminals are outside and they want to, you know, kill. They basically want to find the priest. Charlie listens to the confession from Wanda.
Wanda,
who's wearing this like headscarf thing that's actually kind of nice. I guess
it kind of almost looks like a veil.
Yeah, it does.
20 hours.
Oh, I don't even know what she's talking about. This is another kind of long scene.
So,
it's three watches.
How long has it been since you've been to confession?
That's hilarious, right?
Why does he wear three watches?
Because he's selling them, you know. Japan, California, New York. Big time investor.
20 hours? I thought I had an exciting day.
Maybe I ought to get the other priest.
Oh, no. Don't get the other priest. I'm all yours. So, my child, tell me about your sins.
Well,
also a question. Okay, because... Yeah. So she said it had been 20 hours since she had confessed, right?
Yeah.
But why is she at this church? Because the church was abandoned?
That's a great point. I didn't really.
It doesn't make sense that she's going to this church.
Yeah.
I had angry thoughts about one of my customers.
It's her accent, too. Angry thoughts.
I know. All these people living in L.A.
Or, like, yeah, it's like a mixture of, like, New York and Long Island here. I would say Dee Dee, whatever, is either from Brooklyn or Long Island somewhere.
Customers, huh?
On table 7.
This is like going to the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a Cinnabon.
Yeah.
I'm a waitress.
Oh.
There were these men. They were so rude. I asked them what they wanted. They said they couldn't make up their mind. So I said, I'll come back when they decided. They said they wanted soup. So I brought them soup. They said, I don't want the chowder. I want the minestrone.
All right. Chowder.
So I threw my sausage and peppers right at them.
Oh, you like sausage and peppers, eh? This was a scene that kind of made me laugh a lot outside of the church. And the church, I mean, I guess this is really the church because it is a real church. It looks like a library or something. Like it... The pillars in the front. I mean, it's really a nice building, but...
I mean, we have churches around here that are, you know, old historic buildings, and they're kind of similar to that.
Okay. I mean...
But they have the kind of pillars and these really big grand doors and stuff.
I don't know. It doesn't... For at least these shots don't look very churchy to me. They look more like a university or a library. Mm. One can learn in a church as well.
I mean, I guess to me, because, like, we have churches around here that, I mean, look a lot like that. So I guess to me, it just, I mean, well, it is a church. It is an actual church. So obviously it is.
Well, maybe you should move to Los Angeles.
You'd love it. I don't think I have the right accent for it, according to this episode.
You got to go to San Gennaro Freeze, get those zappies and little sausage peppers. Little mozzarella. And so the cop pulls up to the church/library.
That is really weird. How he just instantly puts his hands up and...
and the cop just runs right by him. There's like one cop in all of Los Angeles, by the way.
Yeah, he's a very busy man.
Yeah.
He's doing everybody's work.
Excuse me, Father.
Oh, boy, am I glad to see you.
Not half as glad as I am to see you. I thought this church was closed.
We felt there was a need for it in the community.
You don't know the half of it. That fire over on Eastwood Boulevard is going like crazy. Thousands of people are going to be without a place to sleep tonight, and every shelter in town is full. Churches, gyms, schools, you name it.
Well, what can we do?
You can take some of them in. They'll need a place to sleep.
I like how they just work in the theme song.
Yeah, kind of smoothly as well.
Something to eat and people who are just willing to listen. Good. We'll bust them over as soon as we're ready.
This sounds like David Rose just got a little keyboard.
Yeah, like one of those little tiny like Casios.
Yeah.
He's like, we're just going to patch it in. Don't worry about it. It'll be in the same key. Nobody will know. It's not like anybody's going to have a talk show talking about this.
Yeah. He talks like that too.
This is David Rose. He grew up in Brooklyn. Right?
Sure, I don't know, are we able to look this information up, or is it scrubbed again?
Let's see, David Rose. I'll just do David Rose, composer, birthplace. Scrubbed.
He doesn't exist.
Is this right? It's saying he's from the UK.
Really?
Yeah, that's him. Here's even something else that's weird. There's a New York Times. Oh, no, all right. So I don't know if the New York Times would mention all that stuff. But he was raised in Chicago.
Yeah, okay. I think I remember reading this now, right?
Yeah.
We have the family name was originally Rosenberg.
Yeah.
It's back.
It is. I mean,
it's back.
Yeah, well, we're doing video here. So, I mean, I'm going to bring it up here just to have a physical thing. It's here. I just saw it somewhere. It's gone in real time. Now here, David was born in London to Jewish parents and raised in Chicago, and originally Rosenberg. All right, I went to school with a lot of Rosenbergs, so he could have an accent, right? Chicago accent. What's a Chicago accent like? It could be like this, right?
I mean, I think it's just kind of a Midwestern accent, isn't it?
No, I mean like Al Capone, right?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't think that people really talk like that anymore there. I don't know, but I mean...
I find that very offensive.
Yeah.
How dare you? Yeah, let me get Chicago-style pizza and two Molsons. I don't know why Molson. I think of Molsons when I think of Chicago, Australian beer. So we get this like shot of the fire truck coming up. We're back at the confessional, and it's kind of like they're getting to know each other a little bit in a kind of a weird way. I mean, I think this is a little bit strange.
Mm-hmm.
Because like she's speaking to him not as a man, like as a priest. So I don't know, it's a little bit of a violation, but I guess not that big of a deal. But this goes on for like 4.5 minutes. Of them just kind of like...
Ready to give. I know I'm no beauty queen, but I'm a nice person.
Yeah, a little self-deprecation. So she gives her confession at the church that closed, what, a decade ago?
Yeah, and apparently it's weird. I mean, because apparently she is... a pretty devoted Catholic, right? I mean, we know that she's going to confession all the time, and it's weird that she just goes to this church randomly that had been closed and everyone was surprised was open. How did she know that it was, and why did she go there? I mean, what about the one she normally goes to?
It makes no sense, actually. It's something I missed when I was watching it. I'm like, yeah, it makes no sense why she's there. So Jonathan goes up to her.
Miss?
Yes, Father.
I wonder if you could help us. We've got a real situation on our hands here tonight. There'll be a lot of people coming in here looking for shelter. They've been burned out of their homes.
Can you make egg salad?
Yeah. Well, that's my other question. Who makes all those sandwiches?
In those, like, containers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they could have bought them, I guess. I don't know.
I just wonder if you could help us.
Doing what?
Well, anything. Preparing food or talking to them, just helping them get through the night.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to, but I'm not very good with people. I'm kind of shy.
Please. They really need you.
I do have the day off tomorrow. Of course I'll help. I'll just go home and change. I'll be right back.
Thank you very much.
So he's like,
why does she have to change? Is she, what, wearing a work uniform? I guess it's hard to tell because she's wearing a coat.
Yeah, what, did she mention what her job is?
I mean, it sounded like it was some kind of, I mean, she said customers, she referenced customers, and then there was the soup thing, so I thought it was some sort of serving job.
Yeah, so maybe she has a waitress.
Or maybe like at a grocery store or deli, restaurant, something like that.
Maybe she has like a waitress uniform on. Like on Seinfeld.
Well, which is perfect because they have sandwiches to pass out.
Exactly. This guy's face is just making me laugh. It's kind of like, this is me on like any.
It looks very cartoonish.
It's me on any express line when somebody's like, this isn't ringing up right, and they have the whole flyer. No.
Church. No church. We're taken.
So these two criminals storm in. I think that the guy with that kind of cartoonish face, he's the more gentle of the two. He's like, well, we can't do this here. It's a church. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a little bit of respect. So I don't know. I thought like he was going to do something to intervene. I don't know. So we usually have that. We have like the upstander. We have the person who kind of steps away from being the bad guy. And yeah, it just doesn't happen in this particular thing. Now, I wrote, these pretzels are making me thirsty, because the way this guy delivers the line just reminds me so much of that Seinfeld line.
These sirens are giving me the willies.
Same.
That's pretty funny.
Can't you seem like kind of practicing?
These sirens are giving me the willies.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about that just totally reminded me of it. So, to our Seinfeld fans that are out there.
Look, Johnny, listen, I was thinking you. Uh oh.
So these guys are approaching Mark and Jonathan.
Relax.
Excuse me, Father. I'm looking for a friend of mine. Came in here tonight.
What do you want with him?
I got business with him.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to do that somewhere else. This is a house of worship, not a place to do business.
Padre, I'm trying to be nice. The guy stole something from me. I got to get it back.
Well, what was it?
A briefcase.
Just a briefcase, or was there something of value inside? I mean, we really should know in case we find it.
It's just a briefcase.
With a little House on the Prairie lunchbox on the inside. Mint condition.
With the complete series of Blu-ray.
A lot of sentimental value, I am.
You posted a funny meme of Kevin James in front of the Little House DVDs. I don't know why Kevin James makes me laugh no matter what. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've seen that meme. Yeah. It's kind of been pretty prevalent for a while.
Yeah.
And he's just making that really funny face.
Yeah.
I'm a very sentimental guy about that.
Oh, speaking of Kevin James, though, small rants about Pluto. So they changed their lineup recently on the sitcom Legends channel, which always had like Frasier and Cheers, and then they showed Becker, and then they showed Wing. So I was like, oh, so it's like it's like the same group of creators, right, for those shows. So I'm like, well, this channel is like those creators or whatever.
Yeah, and that's like falls into the things that you like in particular.
Yeah, but now they're showing King of Queens on that channel, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense because I don't think that any of the creators are on that show, but I guess maybe there's overlap. I haven't looked into it, but I'm like, why is this on here now?
Right.
And I mean, I like King of Queens, but not on that channel, because that's not what the channel was. And I'm like, why is it, you know? Yeah. Cheers used to be on after work, and now it's King of Queens.
You throw your coffee mug at the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You mentioned Wings. You know, Wings is one of those shows that I've watched a few episodes, literally a few episodes, and I found it fine. Like, you know, it's like a small airport or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you watch Wings? Like, is it a show that's worth watching?
Well, so it's been basically the same thing for me where I've seen some episodes and it seemed fine. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And it was, I guess when I was watching it, I mean, I felt entertained, but it also isn't anything that I've really sought out.
But people like really are into that show for some reason.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I mean, here's the thing. So when it's been on and I've watched it, I'm like, well, this seems like an all right show, but I also haven't really felt the pull to just watch it from, you know, beginning to end either.
Yeah. It feels like I like the TV show Taxi from the 70s, and it kind of reminds me of that, but in an airport. Mm-hmm. But not as funny, like, you know, but even Taxi doesn't draw me in the way that like other shows did.
Yeah.
Even King of Queens, which is going to be your favorite show to watch after work.
Yeah.
What choice do you have? You have to pull out the DVDs.
Yeah.
Oh, cheers. We're watching disc 4. Yeah. So let's see, Jonathan starts lecturing Charlie about why does he even want to keep the money.
I just got to find a place to stash it till I can figure out how to get out of here. Excuse me.
Out of here.
Charlie, I don't understand you. Why do you want to keep it?
Why? Because it's $1 million, that's why.
Yeah, and for that kind of money, they're not going to stop looking for you. You're going to be running your whole life. Now, is it really worth it?
You better believe it.
But that money means that much.
No, for nothing.
Not for nothing.
Stuff of life's in this briefcase. If you got it, you're somebody. If you don't, you're nobody. Nothing.
It's like 250,000 sausage peppers.
It's pretty funny that he's wearing his white tennis shoes with the priest.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Investments.
Another chump scrambling for a buck. If you got it, everybody's your friend. If you got it, what's in this briefcase, you ain't got a care in the world.
It's reminding me a little bit of the Da Vinci Code. Like, I don't know. Where, you know, and they have to break open part of the church in order to get to something. Where he's just lifting up stuff.
Then why do you look so scared, Charlie?
Because I ain't figured out how to get out of here, that's why.
Look, Charlie, I got a busload of people coming in here tonight who've lost everything they had in this world. You want to stay in here, you're going to have to help them.
Mr. Angel, you got yourself a deal.
Hey, Mr. Angel.
Mr. Angel.
That's what the show should have been called, Mr. Angel. Instead of Highway to Heaven.
Captain Mr. Angel. Angel. Captain Angel.
Captain Angel.
Let's see. All right, so this is where Doyle comes up. This is like your typical, like, mobster.
Well, so that's this scene in particular. This is where I was like, they're doing some crazy, like, mobster thing with this episode.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure where that came from.
Doyle? Where's my money, Bushy? Mr. Doyle, we had a little problem.
I already heard about your problem.
Why are you busting my balls? You know about it. What are you asking for?
Johnny the Tooth said he showed up and you guys wasn't there.
Cops came in, Mr. Doyle. We had a split.
Yeah, well, that can happen. But you know, I give a couple guys $1 million to make a buy for me and they disappear. If I was of a suspicious nature, I might think they was trying to rip me off.
The only thing missing is this guy cracking his knuckles.
Yeah.
So they're like, we're not ripping you off. It's the priest who's inside the church. The school bus is with all these people who have been part of this fire. I mean, terrible thing to even like imagine having to go through, but all these people have nowhere to stay because I guess their entire apartment building went up in flames, right?
Yeah, which is really sad.
Sandwiches and coffee right down the front.
Sandwiches and coffee.
Oh, and then I put it on the notes. Of course, Michael Landon is pushing the coffee at night.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what is on this guy's shirt. It almost looks like, I don't know what that is.
Is that a dog?
I was thinking it's like a stormtrooper or something. Is that Roblox? I don't know what that is. Where do they get all these random extras? Just keep moving down front. You think Karen Grassley is like, can I get $75 for the day?
Yeah. They just pulled the man off the streets.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they do that in some movies and TV shows. Sandwiches and
coffee. What'd you try, the tuna sandwich? They're the best. Actually, the egg salad isn't bad either.
Yeah, I mean, those are like kind of pre-made and everything.
They look like something you would buy at a convenience store, gas station kind of thing.
Like those vending machine things that don't exist anymore.
Right.
I forget what they're called. You would just go to the wall oven, put money in, and open it up and take your food. That's what it reminds me of.
But to go back to my question from before, I mean, where did they come from, though? I mean, who is financing the sandwich thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, where's the money? I mean, of course, we can just kind of say, well, you know, they provided it. You know, it's like he just snapped his fingers and it
appeared. I mean, I suppose in the context of this show, that would be what happens, right? Which is probably also why the church, which was abandoned, is so clean, because everything is just set up for them.
But you know, unlike Bewitched, right? In Bewitched, they would just kind of snap their fingers and it would be there. That doesn't really happen in Highway to Heaven, at least that I've seen. You know, it's always provided. Like, it's kind of like
they kind of stumble into a situation. Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll be like a deli owner will say, well, oh, I heard about it and I have all this extra food and I want to donate it. You know, like, it'll be like those type of things where.
And they end up donating like all the muffin bottoms.
And it falls into that whole, you know, the Lord will provide. You know, like, I think that's usually the message that they want to bring to the forefront. Coffee down front. So Dee Dee shows up. I mean, Wanda.
Hi.
Oh, will you meet again, Father?
This totally reminds me of Hurricane Sandy, where, like, I had no power for, like, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, like, okay and everything like that. But somebody, like, they're like, there's Papa John's truck down at, like, this, like, park. They were just giving out Papa John pizzas. We're like, we got to go there and get Papa John's pizza. It was like, yeah, they were just like giving, they just handed me like three whole pizzas. It was like,
that's crazy. Actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing here? You didn't get burned out of your apartment.
Oh, no, I came to help.
Oh.
But yeah, like, you know, it's one of these kind of sad things. All right, so this old man comes in, and this is really heartbreaking. I don't think the guy's like the best actor in the world. He didn't really sell me on it.
Well, they just picked him up off the street. Give him a break.
But essentially, it seems like he was working and the fire broke out and his wife is still in the apartment. That's the vibe I got.
As far as he knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where she is. Father, my wife. Where is my wife?
Was she on the bus with you?
No, she was in the apartment. I was at work. I'm a watchman. She was in the apartment. I tried to get in there, but the whole place was on fire. They wouldn't let me in, the firemen. I couldn't get her out, Father.
So it's one of these ongoing in the background. And we have this, like, family that is kind of under the circumstances of a fire like this, where it's so devastating. Under these conditions, I think they're doing all right in the sense of, like, all right, they snapped a little bit, but I'd be freaked out.
Ray, take Belle. I've got the baby.
I mean, they have three kids here.
Yeah, and one is just a little baby.
And one's acting like a baby. The oldest.
I'm not exactly empty-handed myself, okay?
Well, I've got the baby.
Kids, let's quiet down, okay? Will you just quiet down? Beth, be quiet. I'm sorry, honey. Beth, I'm sorry. I just... Mommy and Daddy are upset too, Beth.
home.
Well, we don't have a home anymore. Do you understand that?
Oh, man. I mean, he's really laying it all.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Listen here, you little twerp.
Let me write it down for you. Oh, wait, you can't read.
You want me to draw a picture?
Draw a picture? There it is. It's a blank page. That's what we got. It's not Beth. Let's see. Jonathan and Charlie talk about the money.
What do you think about Charlie? Your money?
No, I wasn't thinking about my money.
Why don't you help?
Help? How can I help?
If I given a little for once in your life, I'm not talking about your precious money. There's a lot more in this life than what you found in that briefcase.
This is also kind of a classic Michael Landon kind of theme that we get shining through in Little House a lot too, especially, which, you know, kind of valuing the human relationships and family over the material things, mm-hmm. like money and houses with curtains and things like that.
Charlie goes over to talk to the little girl who's so upset with Wanda.
Don't talk to the father that way.
He's not my father.
She got you there. Hey, what's wrong, sweetheart?
I lost my dolly.
Oh, you had to leave your dolly in the apartment?
Yeah.
You want to see something?
No.
Well, this is something special. This is something super special.
Super special.
Double special.
Yeah.
Well, you got to stop crying. See,
you got to shut up for 5 seconds.
I got to have your complete attention. But you're going to like this, I promise you.
What?
I see a tear there. I don't want to see no tears when I show you this. Because this is something that's going to make you the luckiest little girl around. When the other little girls see you with this, they're going to wish they was you.
They was you. Now... I don't know. I mean, all right, it's going to cheer up the girl to give her this jewelry, but yeah, really.
Well,
I mean, I think that the way that he is talking to her is really nice. Me too. And he seems like he really kind of has a way with people.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he probably does have people skills from selling his, you know, fake jewelry. But I mean, like, he seems like he does, you know, kind of have a way with people and with kids too.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also a little bit weird to just be giving jewelry to this little girl.
Yeah. First adult jewelry.
Yeah. Did you ever play dress up? You ever get dressed up like you're a grown up beautiful lady?
Now, I am a grown up beautiful lady.
It's like a little groomer.
I'm 6.
I'm 6 going on 19.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, go over to your dad's wallet and dig out a 20.
Well, take a look at this.
What's he
Get
shaking?
A load of this.
Does that blow your mind or what?
What is it?
What is it?
Not for nothing. This is the dumbest thing I ever heard.
This, my little darling, is a genuine 2-carat diamond solitaire. Flawless, custom designed, one of a kind, the only one like it in the world.
And it can be yours for only $40 right now. So he gives it to her, which I think is a very nice gesture.
Well, though, like I said, a little bit weird.
Definitely a lot of weird. And we get
his comment, which is actually even weirder.
It's beyond dated. I don't even think that this would have been appropriate in the
80s. Dated, and also he's talking about a child.
Right. I didn't even really think about that. Yeah, he's like referring to a child.
Never met a broad yet who didn't light up for a sparkly.
And what is that? I mean, he's talking about a child. He's calling her a broad.
Not for nothing. I'm really good with these under 12-year-old girls.
That's his key population.
Well, I better get back to work.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird thing. And she's just smiling. You know, Wanda's like, oh.
She's like soaking it up. It's crazy.
Right. I wish you would call me a broad. They keep on going on, almost like asking, why do you want to keep the money, Charlie? I think it's kind of a silly question on the surface. I mean, he obviously wants to keep the money because the money is it's a lot of money. That's all. Let's see. Doyle shows up to talk to Jonathan.
Who is he? Jimmy the Ox?
Jimmy the Ox. Saying who? All right, I'm actually going to play this scene. It's kind of funny.
Money. How do you know my name?
Oh, I know a lot about you, Mr. Doyle. I know you're one of the biggest drug dealers in the city. I know you came here tonight looking for a briefcase full of money. Money to buy more drugs to sell to children.
Harry the Hook.
So this is kind of yet another sort of the C plot here is it's another kind of drug episode.
Yeah.
Even though it's not the focus, but this guy apparently is a big drug dealer.
Yeah, I mean, they could have thrown a little bit of drugs in the briefcase, right?
Yeah.
You're no priest, are you?
No, I'm a priest.
You in with that other phony?
No, I just met him tonight. My boss sent me this assignment.
Your boss, huh? Who is he, Jimmy the Ox?
Oh, no, bigger than that.
Harry the Hook?
Bigger.
Nobody's bigger than Harry the Hook. Not in this town.
It's just so fun. The names are just really hilarious. It's like Doc the Baker.
Hiram. Is Hiram your boss?
Hiram.
Goddess.
What?
What?
Goddess. My boss is gone.
You hear this nut? So your boss is God, huh? Well, you better tell me where that briefcase is or you're going to be joining your boss. I'll give you three.
I wouldn't talk like that, especially in here.
One.
So he counts to three. So
this is like a real ass blaster kind of scene.
Which part? When the light comes?
You know, really, I think the whole scene. But yeah, let's try it with the light.
Let's...
Two. Three.
I am the ass master. Come to blast your ass. Don't you worry, because soon return shall pass. But be prepared, because I'm going to blast your ass. I am the ass master. Here to blast ass.
Hey, that worked out really well.
Ass blast. Blast ass.
Okay, that worked out pretty well. The little ding came on at like the perfect time.
It wasn't bad at all.
But also I was thinking too that light thing, which we already talked about a little bit, and how it's kind of like that thing in the he was only 12 in Little House, and it's kind of weird. But it's also kind of one of the few times in the show that we get kind of this really weird, obvious, supernatural type stuff happening.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like, I guess the premise of the show is basically supernatural. I mean, the whole like angel thing and sure. Yeah. These situations that they're in. But generally speaking, when they're on these assignments, they kind of are just acting like normal people, right? So, and it's even actually, there are other episodes where he reveals that he's an angel, but a lot of times he doesn't reveal that, you know, that's sort of kept under wraps. He's a lot more open about it here when he was revealing that he was an angel and kind of messing with Charlie with it. But we don't really get a lot of this like really obvious supernatural stuff like we do in this episode. Like, well, particularly this weird little light beam, which I don't know what that is. I don't know what happens to the guy.
So, all right. I mean, we're of course supposed to guess that they're gone. They're dead. They've been squashed out of existence. I wish they made these three people eat more evil.
Mm-hmm.
It would kind of make it a little bit more acceptable. Because I don't know. I mean, I don't think, I don't believe that a god would just kill somebody. You know, like it's, and this show doesn't really kind of lend itself to doing that.
I don't know if, I mean, is it really that he's killed or is it just that this beam is like transporting him elsewhere?
If we're going to say that, then that's fine too. I didn't really think about that. I was thinking they're gone.
Mm-hmm. You
know, like,
maybe dissolve like Jack in 100 Mile Walk.
Who?
Jack.
Jack.
Jack. I can't wait to pull the Jack from Speed.
Yeah, that would be good.
to cheer up everyone.
But then the way he says, I don't blame you, that does maybe imply maybe that he did kill him.
Or did something.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I mean, that's why if they were, like, super evil, we're like, yeah, they killed this kid. You know, they did something terrible. They're selling drugs. To, you know, it would just kind of like you can all of a sudden guess, like, maybe they were sent to purgatory or mm-hmm. something. I don't know. Banished somehow. Because you got to be pretty evil for God to just kind of kill you, I think. It's just mm-hmm. all three of you. And that one guy just felt like he had redeemable qualities.
Yeah.
Like he didn't want to go in there. He really wasn't doing so much. I'm more forgiving than everyone. On this, right before Easter.
Good Friday.
Oh, it is Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Wanda says, and I think we've all said this before, that, you know, we meet somebody, you see, I wish you weren't a priest because I want to date you. She, you know, Wanda says that she wishes he wasn't a priest, which I don't know. Is that appropriate to say?
To say to a priest that you wish they weren't a priest?
I don't think it's appropriate. I think, I mean, these are people who took a vow of celibacy to kind of, I don't know. I think that there's something wrong about it. Of course, I'm not a Catholic, but mm-hmm. I just feel like, I don't know.
I mean, I think that the way that they're trying to make it come off in the show is that it's
okay.
Intended to be kind of like innocent and sweet, but I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see. Mark announces, makes a big announcement.
A number of the downtown hotels have volunteered to make all of their vacant rooms available to you.
May I quote you on that?
What's that, Dorothy?
May I quote you on that?
She's there writing it down. Scratch, scratch, scratch.
All right, listen. Listen to me. You get your belongings together because some buses are going to be arriving very shortly to take you all downtown, all right?
Now, this is awesome, right? But I wouldn't be in this good of a mood, personally.
They're right, they still lost their homes and their belongings and all this stuff.
Yeah. And they're like, room service.
Yeah, they're all like clapping like the Beatles just came on stage or something.
Yes, lady.
It was nice, Father.
Actually, curious.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? I have what I think is some pretty good news. A number of the downtown hotels have volunteered to make all of their vacant rooms available to you. Listen to me. You get your belongings together because some buses are going to be arriving very shortly to take you all downtown, all right?
I thought I had a longer Beatles thing. Another one wasn't even the Beatles. That's what they're cheering for.
Well, I guess you won't be needing me around here anymore.
Bye.
Bye. So I'll see you for all of your sins tomorrow, I guess. Charlie basically confesses to her that he is not a priest, and she just believes it, which is kind of weird. I like how he says his name, which I think is mentioned, Charlie Chipola?
I think it's pronounced Chipola, yeah.
Yes, but, well, I
want that someone to be me.
Father, you're a priest.
I ain't no priest.
What?
I'm not a priest. Look, Wanda, all my life I've been as phony as that fake diamond I gave the kid, but what I'm saying to you now, it ain't phony, it ain't fake.
The kid's right behind him. That's fake.
And starts crying.
Yeah.
I want the same thing that you want. And I want it with you.
But Father.
Not Father. Charlie. Charlie Chipola.
Chipola Pizza. You never heard Chipola Pizza? It's down in Bensonhurst.
Papa Chipola's.
I actually opened one up in Canarsie, but it didn't work out so well.
Place where we can talk, okay?
It's a talk Let's ditch this room and go to the back. So this is kind of nice little scene. Marco's up to the old man.
Buses are ready.
I prayed. I prayed all night for my Etta that she'd come back to me, that she'd be all right.
It's like... They ruin it with their music. So I'll leave it
up to you. That's a nice little fist bump. Yeah.
These guys are after me. That's why you gotta say yes or no now. Because if it's yes, we'll just get on one of the buses.
I know I just met you about 6 hours ago, but let's go.
Well, just my 6 hours, if that.
Yeah, not even,
ago,
yeah.
And I'm now telling you that what you thought I was just a fabrication. And please trust me for everything now.
Right. I'm a man who wears three watches. How can you think that I'm making up anything? So she's like, I don't need the money. I don't understand why you need the money. And he's kind of choosing the money over her. And he just kind of gets up and walks out. And he goes past Jonathan and Mark.
I see you made your decision, Charlie. You got your money.
Yeah, if I live long enough to spend it.
Oh, you live long enough.
Not if those guys out there have anything to say about it.
Those guys aren't out there. They're gone.
What do you mean? Gone where?
Well, the boss doesn't make me privy to that information, but I can guarantee you they're gone.
So maybe they did get sent somewhere else.
Yeah, because Jonathan, I guess, doesn't know what happened to them, but yeah, maybe they are just sort of transported somewhere. That's weird.
Yeah. Mark should be like, Jonathan, what happened to this? Seriously.
You mean I can just walk out of here with the money?
If that's what you really want.
Yeah, sure. You.
And that's how it ends.
Kidding? Thanks, Mr. Angel.
Mr. Angel.
Ah, see you around.
We should look this guy up because he has some like serious eyebrows growing for a young guy.
See, I was actually just thinking that it almost comes up like a little horn, yeah. Kind of over the arch of it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Angel?
Dr. Angel?
Yeah.
So he's like, I feel like crap.
I got $1 million in this case and I'm miserable. That's what's wrong.
Why? You got?
I got tree watches and all this cash.
You want it?
No, I didn't get what I wanted. I wanted it all, the money and the girl.
Well, what do you want with her? With $1 million, you can buy a lot of company.
Not
eyebrow wax, even.
Right.
She didn't care about the money.
No, she just wanted you.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? She cared more about me than $1 million. Just me.
Yeah, look at the eyebrow. I mean, that's pretty prevalent. I think Victor French was kind of aware that maybe his could grow that way, and they were trimmed.
Brass and glass Charlie.
You weren't.
Because look, I mean, Mark's eyebrows, they're not exactly like, you know.
They're pretty thick.
They're thick, yeah, but they're not long.
Right.
You think you'd have, like, big bushy ones? Like, big curls?
Real prairie brows.
Yeah, big prairie brows.
Glass and brass to one.
I don't even know where she lives. I don't even know her last name.
People don't know this, but this actor's real name is Jonathan Gilbert. You didn't know that. It's a fun fact.
I do.
You do?
I'll take you right to her because that's not too stalkery. She's in her apartment watching TV.
Earlier, there have been no reports.
With the coolest TV in the world. Look at this thing.
That's pretty nice. Look at that.
Yeah. Everyone had this TV and you put the big VCR on top.
rates of fatalities. In a related development, a good Samaritan has stepped forward to ease the burden of an awful lot of victims. A briefcase with $1 million has been deposited at City Hall by an anonymous donor. So the next time someone says there isn't a tooth fairy or Santa Claus or guardian angel, you just tell them to check with the mayor's office.
Tell them to shut up.
How about you shut up?
When he brought up Christmas, I was thinking that this would make a really good Christmas episode.
Oh, sure.
Right? I don't know why they didn't kind of steer it that way.
How about you shut up?
Yeah.
Because they know better.
Oh, Ollie.
What's more tragic than... Whoops. I mean, these people losing their houses on, like, Christmas Eve or something like that. You know, like... So much more tragic. I mean, it's tragic. Terrible. So she goes to the door for some reason. Like, I mean, she's just going to go run to him?
I guess.
She didn't even turn off the TV.
But how would she know where he is right now?
Yeah, they already said bye.
Bye.
She has a cross hanging from her doorbell. You ever seen these doorbells? These are crazy.
Yeah, those are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie, was that you on the news?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still got a million, though, but that was me.
He's still wearing his priest.
He's like, I kept 100,000.
He's still dressed like a priest.
Yeah.
You want to see something?
It fits so nice.
Genuine brass and glass. One of a million. Ain't worth two bits unless you say yes and put it on your finger. And all the money in the world wouldn't buy another one like it. Oh.
So this is the next day, right? And
yeah.
So overnight, so let's say 12 hours went by. And he's proposing to her?
Well, and he has revealed that he lied about being a priest. There was that whole thing with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was selling the knockoff jewelry.
Yeah.
So he has had a shady past, which I'm okay with the idea of him changing his ways, right? And kind of like leaving that behind and turning over a new leaf and everything. But it's just happening way too fast.
Yeah.
So she really doesn't know him. Really, what she thought she knew, she found out was a lie. Right? So how can she just... This is too fast.
The guy's like a shyster. I mean, the guy scams people for a living.
Right.
He tells her he loves her. Oh, she actually says it first.
I love you.
Those three watches. One for each one of my wives.
So this is my first family. He has like a whole story.
This is a swatch that my son, one of my sons gave me from my first marriage.
My three sons, my three watches.
Exactly. Hey, Mr. Angel.
Hey, Mark. Mr. Angel. Thanks.
Don't mention it. Hey, Charlie. How's it feel?
Like $1 million. Can you believe it? Charlie Tripola feels like $1 million.
Free apartment. Rent free. I have no cash.
So long, Charlie. Do my best to the missus.
And that's it.
Bye.
Bye.
But.
No. And that's it. We get the lovely sun rising or something at the end. I thought it was a cute episode. It's definitely memorable and weird.
It is kind of weird, and they're trying to do this weird mobster drug lord thing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was good. And I mean, we kind of get this a lot in the show where we have these what are supposed to be kind of sweet love stories, but then it's also happens way too fast.
Right.
So it's a little bit alarming.
I'm always amazed at the end of these episodes when it says a Blockbuster Entertainment Company.
It's a relic.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, how cool is that? World Vision Enterprises. Even Spelling. I believe that's Aaron Spelling, who's Tori Spelling's dead father. the, you know, who didn't leave like leave any money for Tori Spelling. I'm not laughing. That's terrible. But yeah, I think it's a really cute episode, and I don't think it's like a normal episode though, and it's really high ranked from what I remember. Like in the whole, like what does it have on IMDb? I think this is like the 8.7 out of 10.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's see about the user reviews. A brilliant episode. It says spoilers and there's nothing. It just says brilliant episode. That's a spoiler. Brilliant. A great story from beginning to end.
Spoiler. You're going to love it.
That will touch your heart. You know, that, it says it's amazing. And that review was made on May 11th, 2020 by Hitler's RA.
What?
Yes, 10 out of 10. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Thanks a lot, Hitler's RA. Maybe the white supremacists are listening.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, hey. Maybe it's just trying to spell something else. Anyway, so thank you very much, Kelly. Appreciate this.
Yeah, it was a good time, as always.
And, yeah, until next time. Next time we have to hit up maybe a Landon movie.
Ooh, yeah.
Or that Us thing. It's so strange. I don't know if you've jumped into Us.
I've just read about it a bit, but I've, yeah, not beyond that.
Yeah, I watched about the first 20 minutes. It's a pretty good, yeah. Michael Landon actually looks pretty good in it. You know, it's a shame that he would die not too long after the production.
I know. It's so crazy.